This week I had a big pine tree in my yard that had died sometime over the past 6 months or something like that, and it was, you could see it from the road sticking way up. It was about 40 feet high and it was massive, and it was about 20 feet from my house and about 2 feet from our fence, and so I knew somebody had to come and cut it down, and it wasn't going to be me. And so I had several companies come out and give me a price, and two of them showed up at the same time. Well, actually, there's one across the street cutting down some trees over my neighbor's house who are members here, Sharon and Leland Herbert. And I went over there and talked to him. He said, yeah, I'll come over there and give you a price. And he came in. He was great price, fantastic price. And the other guy came, and they met out in my front yard and had a conversation. And the one that came late, he had an exorbitant price. It was. I think they talked, and he said, "I'm going to let you have the job. So here's my price." And so when they came over to cut down the tree, I was waiting because they had to back the big old bucket truck into my backyard, side of the yard. And he goes down there, and he goes like this between two trees. He said, yeah, I think we can get it through here. I said, uh-oh, this is going to be a problem. And they did get it through there, but just about didn't get it out. They had to cut down one more tree to get the bucket truck out. But I was talking to one of the workers, and we began a conversation asking about his relationship with the Lord, and he just said, well, you know, I'm an atheist. I said, okay. He said, I just can't believe. He said, you believe in magic? I said, no, I don't believe in magic. He said, well, how can you believe in God? And I said, well, I look around. I said, well, check that bucket truck right there. I said, how do you think that bucket truck came to be? He said, well, it was built at a place that, you know, manufactures these things and put together, and the bucket and everything added onto it. Somebody planned it, purposed it, and designed it. I said, okay. Look around. So there's too much here for us to think otherwise. That for me, at least, and I'm not talking magic. I'm talking about a designer and a creator and one who had a purpose in putting it all together. That was the end of our conversation. And as I pondered it again, I've had this conversation a lot lately with people who, I'm trying to stay away from being cocky or arrogant, because to me, when somebody tells me they're an atheist, my first thing I want to say to them, so you know everything. Because an atheist is really saying, I know everything because I know there is no God. So usually if you pose that to them, then they immediately say, well, maybe I'm not an atheist. And I said, so you're an agnostic. Yeah, well, an agnostic is somebody who's trying to find out if there really is a God. And so I'd be glad to talk with you about that. I didn't choose that route, but we had a good conversation. Now, I share that with you because I have not always been that way. And I still have my weaknesses and my moments of fear. We talked about this last Sunday evening a little bit, and that is I have great confidence that I'm going to heaven when I die. So I don't fear death. Sometimes I fear tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. But if I really believe that God has got my eternity in his hands, why can't I believe that he's got tomorrow in his hands and next week and next month and next year and walk with the same confidence? I'm talking about confidence. This morning I was reading that wonderful biblical historical account in Daniel. And this is one of the advantages of doing your readings. All right, I want you to do the devotions. Very, very, very important. It takes about 10 minutes to do the devotions. But I'm talking about when you begin to read, you're going to read through the Bible. And when you read through the Bible, you encounter people like Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. We know them more affectionately as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these guys were living their life, and then Nebuchadnezzar comes in to Jerusalem, to Israel, and they pull all the really, really good people out. And in that group was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he takes them over there, and they're going to teach them and train them and do all this stuff. And Daniel didn't want any part of it. He said, we'll go. We're not going to eat the king's food. We're not going to drink the king's wine. Feed us water and vegetables and watch. And after a little while, you'll see that we're healthier than everybody else. He had this incredible confidence that he could walk into the king's house and he could talk to him without any fear or anything. How could he do that? Because all of his life, he had been studying and learning about the truths of God. He was a man of God. And because of that, he had confidence. So when we're talking about spiritual habits, the purpose of spiritual habits is, as we looked and saw this morning in Hebrews 12:14, the goal is that we will become godly. Godliness. We are to exercise ourselves or discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. And with that comes confidence that we can talk to anybody, anytime, anywhere. We don't need to know what the Muslim believes. We don't need to know what the Hindu believes. We don't need to know what the Mormon believes. We need to know what we believe and what God says. And then when we can take what we believe and what God says and just offer that, that's our responsibility. And we can do it with confidence because we've read it, we've studied it, we memorize it, we learn it, we understand it. And when you take those five chapters, and I'm just as a little sidelight, there's some of these back there on the rack behind the Welcome Center desk. And there's about, I don't know, three or four pages that day one and then five chapters. Day two, the five chapters. And you can do it online also. But when you do that, close up your Bible at the end of that, walk out and think, what did I read just then in Genesis? And what did I read just then in Joshua? What did I read just then in the other books that you read? And then all of a sudden, over a period of time, somebody comes up to you and asks you a question. You know, I was reading about that just the other day in Daniel chapter 4. That's where Nebuchadnezzar went crazy, kind of lost his mind. And, you know, you can all of a sudden, you'll say, this stuff is sticking. It's going in there, and this is great. And I believe you'll discover that God instills confidence in you. Now, that's important. It's very, very important. Because look at me. I'm your pastor. I'm not God. Neither are you. I am human. I have limitations. So here's what I want you to do. This happens every Sunday. You know, Pastor Dennis, I haven't seen so-and-so in a long time. And I say, call him. Oh, what a great idea. It's like somebody's coming, I'm going to tell on them because I haven't seen them at church in a little while, and you need to go take care of it. No, if you miss them, you call them. And call them with confidence to say, hey, listen, I love you. I miss you. You need to be here. Somebody's sharing with me this morning. They've been texting folks and when they miss them. And then somebody came to Sunday school this morning. And he said, thank you for texting me. I'm here because you took the time to text me. Hey, we live in a great time to take the initiative on our own. You are a leader for somebody's. All right? They're watching you, they're listening to you, and you need to live with confidence. Now, tonight, we're going to take a little bit different term in Hebrews 5. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews 5. We're going to read verses 11 through 14. Now, a lot of times in Hebrews, people say, well, this is a troubling passage. If we would understand that Hebrews was written to a group of people who were, they were kind of like the Israelites were, when they were wandering in the wilderness. Some wanted to go back to Egypt, and some wanted to go into Canaan, so they were just kind of, you know, in limbo. You know, they weren't really sold out to follow God into Canaan, and they really weren't sold out to be living out in the wilderness. They wanted to go back to Egypt, and somebody, well, we're not sure, let's go on. This book is written to people who are kind of wishy-washy, and really early on in Hebrews we discover that some of them had already begun to wander. They had begun to wander. Now listen carefully why they did that. Because they were not growing. They were not growing. And what we run into here with the author, stand with me please, as we read this. he is about to tell them, I want to be able to talk to you about Jesus Christ, who is the great high priest even now, and he's there in the presence of God interceding for us, and he is empowering us, but I can't talk to you about these things because you still just want to talk about when Jesus came and when he was born and when he had an earthly ministry and when he was crucified and when he was raised from the dead. He said, you're stuck on these ABCs of knowing Christ, and we need to get beyond that and be mature and start thinking about what it means now that Christ is at the right hand of the Father. So that's where that's and this will make sense when we get this, okay? Hebrews 5, verse 11, starting in the middle of a sentence, of whom, talking about Christ, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. In other words, you went a little ways, but now you're just kind of going backwards. And listen, you won't lose your salvation, but you can certainly make shipwreck of your faith if you do not grow. And I see this happen all the time. People disappear from church, from attendance, and they're out wandering, and they get themselves involved in things and said, how did I get involved here? Verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. You see what he's saying. You're just a bunch of babies, and it's time for you to grow up. For everyone who partakes of only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use. Get that? By reason of use of what? Use of the word of God, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. All right, thank you, and you may be seated. Now, this is an incredibly self-explanatory passage of Scripture, and it should be one of those things that says, I'm going to set up me a place in my home where I can have everything so I can dig in, I can read, I can study, I can pray, I can write things down, I can read in Scripture, and then I can walk away from it and go throughout the day and have it going over and over and over again in my mind. See, that's what he's talking about here, is that we should be to the point now that we're not just pondering the simple basic historical Jesus, which, yes, we should do that, but we should also be pondering the application for our lives and for the lives of others of what Jesus is doing right now. This morning, Pat sang that song about Jesus. We just sang about Jesus being this and Jesus being this and Jesus being this. That, to me, is more for the mature believer who's saying, yes, Jesus is this to me. Jesus is this to me. This is how I'm knowing him and how I'm experiencing him. And all of a sudden we're standing in a group of people and we hear somebody says, you know, I'm kind of depressed right now. Then you begin to jump in and say, listen, let me tell you what, Jesus Christ is my great high priest. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. He's interceding for me, and he is my strength. He is my hope. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my security. And all of a sudden, you know, instead of Jesus being just confined to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he is inside of me, and he's having an impact in my life, then I'm having an impact in the lives of other people. That is God's plan. He has put himself in us and left us here so that we will not be immature babes. Now, the title of the message is The Marks of Spiritual Immaturity. In Hebrews 6:12, in the NIV, here's what it says, and you can, if you've got your Bibles, you can flip over to Hebrews 6:12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. You know, to me, it is exciting to walk with Christ. It's not very exciting to have a past tense faith. You get that? Yesterday's faith, and we've been through this before. last week's roast beef was good last week. I don't want it this week. Okay? I don't mind leftovers, but if it's been a week old, I don't want it. And unfortunately, too many of us are living on last week's faith. Some last year's faith or 20 years ago faith, and now we're just going through the motions and we're not being challenged and we're not ready and equipped to talk to other people about our faith. If you keep in mind, again, the emphasis in this section here, and again, all throughout Hebrews, you'll see that the writer is trying to get them beyond just the historical Jesus. And when I say just the historical Jesus, I'm not being critical. I'm recognizing that Jesus is alive now. We have the gospel record, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. But we need to mature beyond that so that we're living and walking with him daily. So there's several things here to notice. Number one, in verse 11, there's dullness toward the Word of God. Dullness toward the Word of God. This begins, I believe, when we drift away from the Word and we start doubting the Word. He addresses this earlier in Hebrews, when they start drifting away and then they start doubting the Word. I really believe that there was a time in my life soon after seminary, near the end of seminary, when I began to doubt things in Scripture. And that's the beginning of drifting. And that's a ploy, it's a biblical ploy, by the way, of the enemy. We find this over in Genesis, where Satan, the serpent, said to Eve, you know, did God really say that? Did God really say that? And when we hear this from teachers and preachers, and they're saying, you know, did God really say that? Come on, Pastor, you know that really the alternative lifestyle, you know, people who had, they were born that way, and we need to be understanding of that. I personally believe that God created a man, he created a woman. And if we would teach and nurture instead of saying, listen, you know, just follow whatever you feel. What if all of us walked out of here today and said, I'm going to follow whatever I feel? That'd be scary, wouldn't it? Scary thought. We're supposed to bring, again, our thoughts under the control of the Holy Spirit. So we need to be careful of dullness toward the Word of God. Dullness, it's when we don't see the advantage of spiritual growth. And then if we don't see the advantage of spiritual growth, how can we pass it on to others? Look at me. Got to get this. You are responsible to be passing on your faith to others. All right, this is not a canned thing where you say, this is my faith, I possess it, and I'm going to keep it for myself. Okay, good. I'm glad it is your faith, and I'm glad that you've got it. But the purpose of your faith is for you to be growing in it to the extent that you desire to share it with somebody else, and you're tuned in to what other people are saying so that you can join in at that point and introduce them to the Jesus that you are knowing and that you are experiencing. And the reason I say it like that is Jesus is not dead. He is alive. And we have, reading this morning in Ephesians chapters 4 and 5, that we are walking the life, we have a faith walk. A faith walk. That means I don't know everything that's going on, but I am going to faith the Lord. I'm going to walk with him in this situation and not bail. Now, when we get in trouble is when we get really beat down over a situation or someplace, and then we want to give up on God. Listen to me. Don't ever give up on God. And here's why. You must let him finish. You can read it all through Scripture that it seemed like, oh, a hopeless situation. What are we going to do now? Wait on the Lord. Yeah. Wait on the Lord. the best picture that there is of waiting on the Lord is to be twisted together with Him. Twisted together. I still have a big chain at my house, and a thread, a piece of thread is wrapped around it. And you know what that thread is? It's as strong as that chain, because it's wrapped around the chain. And you see, when we are wrapped up with the Lord, waiting on the Lord, then we have His strength. And so we need to be in that position where our faith is fresh. Secondly, not only is there dullness toward the Word of God, now if you've got dullness toward the Word of God, the remedy is to read it, study it, memorize it, meditate on it. And like I said, read a chapter. Stop. Think about what you read. Get a summary statement of it. Go to the next chapter. Read another chapter. Get a summary statement of it. And you'll be amazed at how quickly you'll really get to know the Word of God. Next one, the inability to share. The first part of verse 12 says this, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again." He said, you need to be instructing others. You need to be in a position where you can look at. That doesn't mean you become a teacher or a Sunday school teacher or a preacher or a counselor, but it does mean that you have a fresh word from God because you were in His presence this morning. You were in His Word this morning, and you're listening and waiting because you've been reading, and you're waiting to see how God is going to plug you in to apply what you read and learned this morning. Now, I promise you, when you do it, it will come up. It will come up. We live, I believe we have the capacity in Christ to live miraculous lives. I'm not talking about being miracle workers. I'm talking about to join God in the greatest endeavor of all, and that is seeing people come to know Him and walk with Him, or to love Jesus and lead others to love Him too. But if we're alert, we've been reading, we've been meditating, we've been mulling it over, we've been writing things down. Then we get up and we head out the door and we go to join Him on mission. We're not all teachers or pastors or counselors, but we all need to have a fresh word to share. We need to be fresh and ready and willing to share. I will not stand in this pulpit or any pulpit without a fresh word from God. Again, last week's roast beef may have been wonderful last week, but we need to realize that God's Word is alive and it speaks powerfully to and through us. And if I need to have a fresh word from God on a daily basis, then so do you. You're out there among the heathen. I live in the midst of Ivory Palace, where everybody knows and loves Jesus fully and completely. I do get outside the walls of this place from time to time. And there we have that opportunity then to step up and teach. Now, I want you to think about this, everybody, the students also. I have a responsibility to be teaching and instructing and giving a fresh word from God to other people. You have that responsibility and you have that privilege that goes together. Okay, this last thing. The recipients of this letter had been saved a long time, long enough to be able to share God's truth with others, but instead of helping others to grow, these Hebrew Christians were in need of learning again. I'm gonna tell you a secret now. I'm not gonna tell you that this is what you have to do. But if you really want to become knowledgeable of the Word of God, teach or preach. You know, find a venue for you to instruct others and all of a sudden you'll find yourself in one of the sweetest places in the world. It's between heaven's throne room and earth. Man, I'm telling you what a wonderful place to live, because you realize that you are, by God's design, a link in the chain. Do you see the mission? To love Jesus and lead others to love him too. You see, that's how that works. Is that God, this is great. And when you see the evidence of God working in the lives of other people because you've been doing this, man, you're saying, who's next? This is wonderful. Great. Okay, moving along. Number three, a baby food diet. A baby food diet. Last part of verse 12 and verse 13. You have come to need milk, not solid food. In other words, they should have already been on solid food, but they're still on that which doesn't require any digestion for you. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, unskilled. The milk here refers to what Christ did on the earth, his birth, his life, his teaching, his death, burial, and resurrection. The meat of the word refers to what Jesus Christ is doing now in heaven. Remember, that's what the author of Hebrews is trying to talk to them about. Trying to talk to them about our great high priest now. Jesus and what he is doing in his priestly order. We outgrow being nurtured only by milk. I still enjoy milk. I used to eat Oreos and milk until somebody told me how bad Oreos are for you. Pfft, party pooper, heaven's sake. I can still just think about how good a cold, cold glass of milk and Oreo cookies. Just, you know, the kind you take them and you dip them in the milk. And I haven't done that in years, though, because somebody told me, huh? Somebody told me how bad those Oreos are for you. But I have discovered a close substitute, and that is the devil's food cookies. You know, they're good for nothing. Oreo cookies were bad for something, but the devil's food cookies seem to be, you know, they're just good for nothing. But do what? But this interactive stuff gets interesting. Now I tell you what really will, though, that's got to be healthy. That's a Krispy Kreme donut with chocolate frosting on it and glass of milk. Don't you dare tell me that's bad for me. But in the morning, occasionally, I like to fix me some good old pig bacon. I did the turkey bacon for a while. I said, "Nah, this no good." Good old pig bacon, and some good old frozen Kroger waffles. Pop them in the toaster, and then a cold glass of milk. Man, I'm telling you, that's good. So anyway, milk, it's okay as an adult to drink milk, but we better have solid food too, or we're just not going to make it. We cannot live on milk, and we cannot live just talking about when Jesus walked on the earth and his birthday and all those things, which they're good. They're so important. They're in the Bible. But we need to move beyond this, is what he's saying, and go on to experiencing the Lord fully. So, I hope today this has been just going in you to say, yes, I'm going to do it every day. All right? Every day. Shoot for it. And then if you do it 5 days out of seven, maybe in a few weeks you'll be doing it 6 days out of seven. And then for long, you say, I can't do anything until, first of all, I have had this time, because I need it. It's not I'm doing this because, oh, God will say, oh, I'm so proud of you. It's so I will have the confidence in the Word of God, in my walk with God. And then number four, unskilled in using the Word of God. Verse 14, we really plowed this when we read it a moment ago. It says, but food, solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those who by reason of use. What does he say? This, by using this. Practice, yes, practice, 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 practice. There are too many believers who are not practicing. We should be practicing every day. We should be going through the learning process, the growing process, so that everything is going into us. He says, but the problem is because of your lack of use of the Word of God, by reason of use, their senses exercise to discern both good and evil. So as we use it, as we apply it, as we build it into our minds, and again, I'm telling you, you can do this because I do this. And you've seen me the last two Sundays, I've done it. I've come in here on Sunday morning and I've not had anything planned to talk about something I read, but then bingo, there it was. There it is. It's just right there. Because when you read it and then you write some things down in your journal about it, then you close it up and then you sit there and you think about it for a little bit. What did I just read? Just go back through those five chapters, because if you do the chapter thing, like I'm doing right now, I'm in Deuteronomy, and then I'm in Ezekiel, I have been now in Daniel, and Psalms, and now in Ephesians. So I can just go right through that and just in a moment remember those things that I read today. And I know that when I go through it again next year, I'll remember a little bit more. And I'll have a greater understanding of it, because God said that he would give that to us. If we would seek him, we would find him, if we seek him with all our heart. So you've seen some of these marks of immaturity. And to me, I don't want to be there. I want to be confident. I want to have these things in my mind. This week, we're going to be talking about habits regarding the Bible. Next 2 weeks, we'll be talking about habits regarding the Bible. So it's a good opportunity for you to say, let me put these habits in place. You can be talking about hear it, read it, study it, memorize it, meditate on it, and apply it. And that's how we dig in to the Word of God. As we come to our time of prayer, let's pray that we would be full of God's Word, that we would do what the psalmist said. We would take God's Word and make it a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. That we would hide God's words in our heart, that we would do what Paul wrote to Timothy, that the Word of God is, God's Word is inspired and is profitable for reproof, for correction and righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I want to be that. I want to be full of God's Word. There's a lot of stuff you can be full of, but the most important thing to be full of is full of the Word of God and truth. So let's take about 5 minutes and let's pray. Let's just spend some time in prayer. You can pray alone. You can pray with your family. You can pray with someone. Again, if you want to go pray with someone, ask if it's okay. Then give them the freedom to say, well, really, I'd want to pray by myself. But let's spend the next 5 minutes or so in prayer before we come to our invitation. But I'll be standing here at the front during this time. And again, I'll challenge you. Dig into God's Word.